You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to the second part of the Steelers preview. I'm Jeff Hartman, senior editor at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Joining me is the editor at BTSC, Dave Schofield. I'm watching our Facebook CP. Our live chat on YouTube is so crazy. They comment nonstop. Facebook, every now and then you chime in. And I've got, there's two people from Wheeling, one of which is my mother. And then there's another one that says, I'm from Wheeling too. This is weird. The Wheeling contingent is strong. Yes, I love to see Wheeling, West Virginia, my hometown. Headed back there this weekend for a golf tournament. So let's get back to the predicting the narratives, the offseason narratives. So far, if you missed the first part of the show, if you're watching live, we talked about how the offensive line, will they stink? Will the running game improve? And can Ben Roethlisberger still get the job done? Now, let's talk about the roster losses. All right, we're talking about the roster losses. The one thing that a lot of people said was the roster losses. We're talking about Dupree. We're talking Mike Hilton. We're talking, some of you are even bringing up Matt Filer, Alejandro Villanueva. Is it too much to overcome? Dave, what do you think?
I'm kind of getting frustrated. I'm in a mood tonight, in case you don't realize it. I'm ready to rant about anything. Brian's not here, so I have to be the old man shouting at clouds. So the whole roster losses, there are some that really frustrate me with this. And that is, they want to talk about all the starters that the Steelers lost. And they want to say, oh, well, you know, the retirement of McDonald and Pouncey and having to release DeCastro. But you want to know what? Those same people are the same ones that, if they would have been on the roster for this year, would have complained that they're too old and don't produce and the Steelers needed to upgrade. You can't have it both ways, okay? Yeah. You really can't. You can't complain about, oh, well, the Steelers need to, you know, and add Villanueva into that as well, that the Steelers need to move on from some of these aging players and don't keep them around too long and blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as that happens, complain that they've lost so much. That it is so frustrating. And you're hearing those words out of, it's not all of you. I'm sorry. Don't take this wrong. Like, I'm speaking to everyone. I'm not. Because you could legitimately realize that the loss of Marquise Pouncey, although he was not the same player that he was earlier in his career, was still a loss, because that's the level of player Marquise Pouncey was. Even a not 100% Marquise Pouncey was better than what most teams have at center. So it's not an easy replacement. So yes, there are the losses, but you also got to look at where they were calculated losses. You know, could the Steelers have brought back Al Villanueva? I don't want to pay him that much, but you know what? They chose not to. I think they had Chooks and Banner in mind anyway. Same with Matt Filer. He just was too much money. And if you think about it, someone brought this up. I've got to do this as a sidebar, Jeff, to ask you about this. Did you realize Matt Filer went to the Chargers for an average of $7 million a year?
Uh-huh.
The Steelers got two former Chargers in Trey Turner and Melvin Ingram for a combined $7 million for the year. If you were to say they were both on the team and the Steelers traded Matt Filer to the Chargers straight up for Trey Turner and Melvin Ingram, would you take that trade?
Yes.
I mean,
every day of the week and twice on Sunday. We'll put it
the money lined up perfectly. It's crazy that that happened. But when you look at some of those guys, I mean, even at corner, it was a calculated loss. The Steelers chose to offer a contract to Cam Sutton rather than offer a contract to Mike Hilton. The Steelers chose to. Now, granted, if it wasn't a cap-strapped year, I mean, the Steelers are always cap-strapped somewhat, but I mean, where the cap took a huge move in the wrong direction, would they have done that with Steven Nelson? We don't know. But they chose that move. That it's not that they had no other option. So some of these losses were their own calculated losses based on other things that they have. People that are concerned about cornerback, I'm like, the Steelers think that they have something that we might not see because they weren't going out and making crazy moves. And they chose to not bring those players back. So when you talk about those losses, I mean, Bud Dupree was something they knew was going to happen. That's the whole reason they drafted Highsmith the year they did, when they did, because they knew it was a possibility. So it's not like they weren't prepared for most of this. I mean, Pouncey retires. They can't be shocked about that. Vance McDonald wanted to retire the year before, so they knew that was coming. So there's a lot of it there. The biggest one I have to say was the David DeCastro. They were hoping he would be healthy and he wasn't. So they had to do what they had to do. And then of course the news yesterday of Vince Williams, but they had originally released Vince Williams. So I don't think this is nearly the narrative of what people are making it out to be.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And let's also not forget that, you know, people want to talk about the offensive line. That's fine. You're free to do that. That's your prerogative. Zach Banner won the right tackle spot coming out of camp last year. Didn't even get through a quarter, and he tears his ACL. Did he get through a quarter?
He only missed 5 snaps that game.
Oh, okay. So my
– remember, Wisniewski missed 6.
That's
Banner
right.
Banner missed 5. They hurled back-to-back plays.
So you have – Banner goes down
– today. That's why
there you go. That's fine. So Banner goes down week 1. And he's back and healthy. He has a clean bit of health. Maybe bigger for the defense, in my opinion, than Bud Dupree's loss or even Mike Hilton's loss is Devin Bush's return. And so this is something where people, and I honestly knew, I kind of felt that anyways. And then Kevin Smith or our own Cliff Harris is still a punk as he goes on behindthesteelcurtain.com did that film room. I strongly suggest you go and check it out if you haven't yet about the how important Devin Bush is to the Steelers defense. And he has film of when he's in the game and then compared to when he's not in the game. And it is glaring the difference in the two. So yes, did they lose players? Absolutely. Do I think that sometimes just getting players back that were injured last year could be a really big boost? Yes, I do. All right, let's move on to the next one. This is a positive.
Sorry, I really went off on that one.
Yeah, it's okay. That's all right. This is what we're here for. Defense, the defense will still be a top 5 unit. So everyone, believe it or not, most people have understood that is there all these question marks on the offensive side of the ball with a new coordinator, new offensive line coach, you know, all these questions, new rookies at tight end and running back. Most people would say that the defense is still going to be pretty good. Dave, you think that's going to hold true or do you think that they're going to take a step back?
Absolutely. Top 5 defense. And that's being conservative. You know, Honestly, it's top 3 or bust.
Okay. Let's do this.
And even number 1. Shoot it up to number 1.
They're going to be, I think if they can stay healthy, they're going to be legitimately one of the best defenses in the league.
And
but
saying healthy is the statement.
But if there's a weak spot on this defense.
And we're back.
Where is the weakness on this defense, if there is one in your opinion? There has to be one. No defense is perfect. So where's the weak spot?
Well, you would think going into this season that the weak spot's going to be the corner opposite of Joe Hayden because it's the least known. It really is. So I would list that. I'm not saying that it's bad, but if you have to pick a weakness, you got to pick what, Minkah Fitzpatrick? I'm not going to say that. And then the way the Steelers used Terrell Edmonds to his strengths. The only other thing I would say is, you, if you have some question marks now at inside linebacker, I expect Devin Bush, like I said, I think he meant more to that defense than what people realized when he was gone. I've gone on and on about the sacks, even though it wasn't him getting the sacks. But he is coming off the injury, and now you have Robert Spillane playing next to him, who I have confidence in, but that's what you have. So I'm not saying either of those two spots are bad, but if I had to pick a weakness, it would be one of those two.
And when we're talking about a weakness here, people, it's, to me, it's starting. It's starters. It's not, we can talk about depth. Every team has depth issues at some positions. So behind Minkah and Edmonds, yeah, not good. We'll put it that way. Not good. But at the same time, we're not talking about and assuming an injury is going to happen. So where's the weakness? And I agree with Dave, it's cornerback. I do feel like Joe Hayden still has some juice left in the tank. But who's going to be opposite him? That's a huge question mark. And then you come down, it could boil down to if the secondary can't hold up. And speaking of the scenarios, I did the scenario that Joe Hayden would have more interceptions than Minkah Fitzpatrick in 2021. That was one of my scenarios for the 30 scenarios in 30 days. And the more I typed as I was thinking about this, the more I started talking myself out of either one of these guys having a lot, because they're going to constantly be targeting the other cornerback.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a concern. I do, though, think this defense, if Melvin Ingram, my gosh, if he can be a part of just half the player, a rotational guy, he and Highsmith, and then why? Oh, and then that front's the front. Are you kidding me? With Cam Hayward?
They're all back. They're all back.
And I what mean, if Chris Wormley?
But when I say front, I meant defensive.
Yeah, right. I get it. But what if Chris Wormley can actually stay healthy and actually contribute this season? And that's something that he was banged up a lot last year. No one really knew what they had.
Yeah. So, I mean, but someone might not have understood what I said with the whole Spillane thing. We haven't seen Spillane really play next to Devin Bush, because he came in for Devin Bush last year and played well. We haven't seen the two of them together. That's kind of what I was saying. Not that I think it'll be bad, but I've said this many times, and I said this is something like Brian Anthony Davis would say, and therefore he started saying it, is when you're talking about weaknesses in the Steelers' defense, it's like talking about the ugliest supermodel on the runway. I mean, because that's the Steelers' defense.
No, yeah, they're going to be legitimately really, really good, and you just hope that they're good enough to the point where they can start to get creative on defense and moving Minkah Fitzpatrick around, you know, baiting quarterbacks. And I see these stats in the offseason. They're just insane in terms of quarterbacks avoiding Minkah Fitzpatrick like the plague. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I mean, he's missed out on so many of these top defenders because they set a number of targeted X number of times. And he's so rarely targeted, like 25 targets for the season. It's insane.
Well, did you happen to check out that podcast? I put it in the Slack channel. That it was a video. It was like 4 minutes in length. Mike Tomlin joined Sean McVay.
I wanted to so bad, but I still haven't yet.
Hearing him talk about just Minkah Fitzpatrick, while we're on the topic of defensive backs and defense, he said, I spend so much time with Minkah Fitzpatrick. And a lot of times you and I'm doing, he said, I'm asking questions. I want to know what he's seeing on certain plays, because he knows how smart and how intelligent Minkah Fitzpatrick is as a football player. I mean, just it's tremendous stuff. It's absolutely tremendous stuff. So you got to check it out. All right, let's go to the last one here. The 2021 NFL draft class won't have an immediate impact. A lot of people, not saying I'm one of them, have said that they think that this draft class, from Najee Harris all the way to Trey Norwood, 9 drafted players, they're going to be good, and they're going to be a draft class that will have a lot of impact players eventually, but maybe not so much right away. Yes, Najee Harris is the outlier here, because I think everyone's expecting him to step in right away and be an impact player. Then you get into Freiermuth, and a lot of people are wondering, are they going to run a lot of two tight end sets? Are they going to have sets where he's out there and Ebron's not? We don't know. Can Kendrick Green win the job out of the gate? Everyone's assuming that Buddy Johnson and Dan Moore Jr., like Dan Moore, everyone's like, oh, he's a developmental tackle. He's supposed to start.
And we're back. I'm just trying to cover
I know. It's really annoying. So I'm going to hardwire in next show. But anyway, so it's one of those situations where You know, Dan Moore is considered a developmental tackle. Buddy Johnson is considered a special teams depth guy. And you can go on down the line. Now, obviously, Big Press is a special teams guy, and he's going to hopefully win the job, and he'll have an impact. But, Dave, what do you think? The 2021 draft class won't have an immediate impact.
Okay. I got a very interesting email today from, and it's funny because several people have emailed me over the last week and a half. I am still reeling, trying to get caught up with stuff. I've read them. I haven't had time to respond, but this one came from someone who's asked some questions for Stat Geek before. His name's Rick Fell. And he was talking about, he's like, I like to look at the draft class and then I like to step back and then look at them again, like right before the season starts, like right before training camp. So he was sending me his thoughts on this. And he's like, a lot of times the Steelers draft a player who you expect to, you know, reach a point to where they're a perennial Pro Bowler in their career. He says, I don't know that the Steelers drafted that this year. I don't know that they have that perennial Pro Bowler. And some people are like, well, what about Najee? The problem with that is you're probably thinking about the longevity of a running back is the biggest issue there. But what he said is he's like, I look at this draft class and in the next 4 years, every one of them, you know, has the chance to become at least a one-time Pro Bowler. He's like, even the punter, you know, if he's going out there booming punts and things like that. So that's the difference about this draft class, is that it might not have, you know, like Chase Claypool's on his, you know, if he continues to improve based on the baseline he gave us last year as a rookie in 2020, he's going to be a guy that's talked about for the Pro Bowl for years and years and years, perhaps, you know, if that's the trajectory that he goes. Not sure that we have though with these guys, but I think the Steelers drafted a lot of just solid players, and they're going to be calling. I mean, the fact that Kendrick Green is already saying he's starting the Hall of Fame game, I mean, that's kind of important, you know. Other than the fact that people might say that the Hall of Fame game is where you play your last guys on the roster more than anything, but it's the whole notion that these guys they're going to contribute, and the more you get from them, the better the Steelers are going to be this year. So, I mean, if Najee Harris comes out and just runs all over the field, and if Frothymuth, sorry, you're not allowed to say that. Freiermuth, comes out and, you know, the Steelers are running, can run some two tight end sets, or they don't have to overwork Eric Ebron. And then that's going to be a big deal. If Green's your guy at center and he can hold that down, that's a big deal. I still think Dan Moore is all about, you know, from Dan Moore on, other than the punter, these are all guys that are depth pieces. Now, offensive line, when you're a depth piece, a lot of times you're getting zero snaps. But if you're a depth piece at outside linebacker, you're getting a lot of snaps. So that's the big difference there. So I could see these guys, this even last year, which was the first year ever in franchise history where every draft pick saw action in the regular season for the Pittsburgh Steelers at any point of their career, let alone all of them doing it in their rookie year. This is actually a year that I'm like, it's tough for me before training camp starts, before the preseason games, to see any of these guys not make the team the way they're looking at them. So to me, that tells you a lot as well. Did I really answer the question? Enough for you. I get to the end, I'm like, I don't know if I answered it or not.
As the Beatles said, it's a long and winding road. All right. So for me, I always, any NFL draft class, I look at rounds 1 through 3.
Yeah.
They need to play their rookie year. You got to contribute. Yep. If you don't, if you have it's not an injury related.
And round 3 is sketchy.
Though, I expect them to contribute in some way. So for me, it's like rounds 1 through 3, you better contribute in some way. And if you have someone that doesn't make the team and you drafted them in rounds 1, 2, or 3, good Lord, what a swing and a miss that would be. Happen. I mean, it doesn't happen.
It's rare it's a round 4 guy even that doesn't at least make the team for 1 year.
Yeah. So, okay. I think they're going to have immediate impacts from rounds 1 through 3. Yeah. And then if you want to count Big Press, he's definitely going to contribute if he makes the team. He's going to be their everyday starter at the position. And like you said, the depth pieces, and there are going to be some really good special teamers in there too. Keep that in mind. So,
yeah. So, Did I do a good job of taking all the words that were left for Brian Anthony Davis all to myself? I feel like I've done that well.
For sure. For sure. Brian would be proud. All right. Let's we have 10 minutes. You have trivia, right?
I have trivia. Okay. I got one that I think I'm gonna lob this one in nice and easy for you so you can hit it out of the park.
Oh,
all right. I'm hoping you got this because you got this. Okay. Ben Roethlisberger, he's 39 years old. BTR. Oldest player on the Steelers. He's been the oldest player on the Steelers for a little while now. Who was the last player not named Ben Roethlisberger who was the oldest player on the Steelers? And what year was it?
James Harrison.
And the year was?
It was 2017.
Winner, winner. How do you like your chicken?
I just remember TJ Watt was a rookie that year. That's why I remember that.
Yeah, that exactly. Well, because Harrison thought he was going to get to play more.
Yep.
TJ Watt was too good. TJ took his playing time. Harrison got upset.
All right. So don't ask any more questions. I'm done.
Oh, no, wait. Because I got the follow-up bonus question.
Oh boy.
That I don't even think Brian Anthony Davis would get. This is going back to 1950. I don't have the age stuff before 1950.
Good Lord.
So this goes back to 1950. But I could say it stopped at the merger because that would be true as well.
It doesn't matter.
Who's the only other player that was older than James Harrison to play for the Steelers?
How old was Harrison when he left?
He was 39, because we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Okay. 39 years old.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, the Steelers did not have a player that hit 40.
Gary Anderson, and he got old. He's not with the Steelers. Yeah.
Steelers.
I want to say Dick Shiner, but I know that he didn't have a long shelf life with Pittsburgh because they drafted Terry Bradshaw. I have no clue.
I can give you some hints.
Okay.
He didn't make it to the last game of his last season, unfortunately, which caused the Steelers to the next year to draft Craig Colquitt.
Well, it's a punter. I just don't know who it is.
It's the punter. If you know who the punter was for the Steelers' first two Super Bowls. Okay.
Someone in the live chat, let's go do your job.
Okay, see if anyone's got it. Someone said Bobby Lane. They got the right first name.
Uh-oh, Bobby something.
Mm-hmm.
Boucher.
It was Bob. Should I say it or do I wait for them? Bobby. Mama said.
Maddie Pepperell coming in with the buzz nutter. I love it.
Okay. No, honestly, the name was Bobby Walden.
No clue.
And honestly, I wouldn't have known that either.
Andrew, it was Bubby, not Bobby Brister.
Bobby Brister. He's being funny.
I would hope so.
Hey, Bobby Walden, Ron Chess got it.
I figured Ron would get it. Ron gets all those older.
So here's what's interesting.
Trivias.
This isn't going to be trivia. This is fun fact. I'm not going to make you answer anything for this.
Yay.
Okay. So when it comes to oldest Steelers to play in a game, playoffs or regular season. Actually, Ben Roethlisberger is the oldest Pittsburgh Steeler to ever play in a playoff game last year.
That's interesting.
So this is going back to 1950. I can't get anything before that. So I'm sorry if someone from back then would, when the Steelers were awful. Anyway, Ben Roethlisberger is third behind James Harrison and Bobby Walden. Ben Roethlisberger will pass James Harrison for playing with the Pittsburgh Steelers, being older than James Harrison, in week 5 on October 10th against the Denver Broncos, if he plays in that game. Ben will then be 39 years and 222 days old, which would be 2 days older than what James Harrison was in his last game where he played for the Steelers. If Ben Roethlisberger makes it and plays in week 13 versus the Baltimore Ravens on December the 5th, he will be 39 years, 278 days old, passing Bobby Walden by 2 days as the oldest player to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's two milestones he can pass this year.
And last year is when he passed Mike Webster, right? With most games played in Steelers history?
Yes. I'm pretty sure, yes. And he's got the most seasons as well. I know Ben does, so... I don't know if that was an "and we're back" moment or not. No.
I'm just letting you talk.
Okay.
I actually looked up something, but it has nothing to do with the Steelers. Okay. It has everything to do with that logo.
Okay.
So the logo, everyone should know where the logo comes from. If you don't know where the logo comes from, go do a Google search. It's because it's the Steel logo. Now, the hypocycloids are the little diamonds. On the steel logo, each diamond...
And we're back!
I swear.
Each diamond
stands, represents something.
Yes.
Do you know any of them?
You don't even
have to tell me what it is. If you can just say one of them is this, and I'll be like, yeah, that would be great.
I know what the three elements are, what they are. It's supposed to be the three elements of steel.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So I'm thinking it's iron. So iron's got to be one of them.
Iron ore is one of them.
Okay. Okay. Iron. Oh,
awesome stuff. 1983. He's got it. He's got one.
I haven't looked yet. I would say, is it carbon? Because that's one of the bigger ones, but I don't know if that represents that there. Okay, that is one of the more bigger things in steel. Not really. It's in steel, but I don't know if it's one of the bigger ones. I'm trying to think. I'm doing my nerdy science thing.
Mr. Highsmith.
Manganese is in steel.
Between Awesome Stuff 1983, Sam Highsmith, okay. And what you said, we've got it. So yellow stands for coal.
Okay.
The orange / red stands for iron ore, and the blue stands for steel scrap.
Steel scrap.
Steel scrap. Yep. There you go. That's where that logo came from. The steel logo. What are you double checking?
No, I'm finally looking at the live chat. I'm finally looking at the live chat to see what people are saying.
Like, if you're double checking this,
Mr. Highsmith. He's chiming in the live chat.
He's been here all show.
I haven't been watching the live chat the whole time. I've just caught it here and there. So
did you say manganese?
Manganese is in steel. Come on, I'm doing my crazy. Phosphorus is in steel. Sulfur's in steel. Carbon's in steel. I'm going with the elements that are in steel. But, you know, so you said it was iron, steel scrap, and what was – I missed the other
iron,
one.
Ore,
okay.
Steel scrap, and coal.
And coal.
Well, yes.
We're talking about the elements that are in the steel scrap and coal is what I'm talking about.
No, I laughed. I laughed when you said manganese. Is that what manganese?
It's an element.
No, come on, because you take chemistry. Yes, I did, but no. I think of the movie Wayne's World when they're getting their car, they're getting it inspected. Do you know the movie well?
Oh yeah, Wayne's World. I could probably quote.
So where Wayne is sitting there going, "Zitza bindua." Oh, you're learning Cantonese. Like that's.
Stop it! You're scaring me, man. I just want to let you know something that
Wes did bring this up. Hold on, but before steel. He does. They do mean something else. Lightens your work, brightens your leisure, and widens your world. That is true. That is actually they have three other meanings. So yeah.
All right. Well, you made me have to now sit here and make sure that I'm not crazy with steel. And I'm right on almost all these.
Okay? I'm not saying you're wrong. Yeah.
So because you're saying, you know, because it's
what
iron.
The steel logo. That's the steel logo stands for.
But you know, iron is made up of 3.5% carbon, 0.5% manganese, 0.13% phosphorus, 0.13% sulfur, and 1.2% silicon.
Zitza bindua. Yeah. Dude, you're scaring me. All right.
I got to pull up nerdy chemistry tonight. Yes.
Gosh, I can't believe I asked you that question. I regret it now. I immediately regret my decision. Milk was a bad choice.
I like Litzberg says kryptonite.
I get that one. All right. Do you have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Haven't I said enough already tonight? No, final thoughts are I'm ready for new data for the 2021 season. I'm tired about having to talk about the data that we have from 2020. We want to get players on the field, see what they can do. I'm excited about it. I have overwhelming optimism for so many different parts of this team. And am I naive to do that? Maybe, but you know what? I'm also a fan, and that's who I am. So I'm not going to apologize for it after I just did.
Well, I want people to understand, like SB Nation, which we are a part of SB Nation, it prides themselves on fans being the ones that are doing all this stuff. So, we are fans. We want the team to succeed. We're going to try to be as realistic as possible, but we are fans. So keep that in mind. All right, folks, that does it for us. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Steelers Preview. We'll be back next Thursday. Dave, why don't you send us out?
Hey.
All right. We're sponsored by the Beehive. We'll see you next week. Take it easy.